Crazy Buddhist, a conversation about Buddhist ideas, Buddhist teaching, Buddhism in the real world with Reverend Jerry Hirano. Hirano Sensei is director of the Center for Buddhist Education for the Buddhist Churches of America. He's the minister at the Salt Lake Buddhist Temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, as well as supervising minister for temples in Ogden and Honeyville, Utah, and in Ontario, Oregon. Today we're talking about politics, the politics of foolish denial. That includes the political positions that people take on non-political issues, such as whether to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Tim Chambliss is our guest on this episode of Crazy Buddhist. Tim is a professor of political science at the University of Utah and spent decades teaching and working with the Hinckley Institute of Politics and its programs. Professor Chambliss is often asked to comment on political developments in Utah and the nation. I'm Dan Bomas. Delighted you could join us today. Tim, you say you're spending a good deal of time talking to senior citizens these days in various places, such as assisted living homes and things like that.
And yes, I've been speaking to senior citizens, assisted living places in the Salt Lake City area since 2002. At one time, as many as 8. They keep asking me back. The reason is that there are many residents who want to stay vital. They will tell me that maybe they don't see me that well or hear that well, but they're not dumb. They want to stay vital, they want to stay aware, but they're also concerned about what they hear, see, read in the daily news, and they'd like to have some explanations. And so I'm invited to come, speak for a 60-minute hour, and answer their questions.
And Jerry, your interest in this is kind of figuring out why it is that people kind of commit themselves to a belief in something that's quite clearly wrong. and why are you interested in why people jump onto these bandwagons?
Well, being from Utah, you know, I'm quite familiar with the LDS Church. And I know that a large component in the LDS belief is that you believe what the bishop or the stake president or the elders tell you.
So authority.
Authority, yes. And it's like we have scientists who are fantastic authorities, you know, and people aren't believing it. So it's surprising how the politics has overshadowed their religion and the science. So I was very curious about that.
And Tim, what have you observed? I don't doubt that the people that you speak to have a range of opinions, but do you run into any of these people who are in the denial camp and in the, the folks who insist, for example, that Trump won the election?
I do for example, attending a University of Utah football game last Thursday. You know, 51,000 people, and I'd say the vast majority of them were not wearing masks. I was wearing a mask, and I'm up in the 63rd row, the 40-yard line. I was in the definite minority, my wife and I wearing masks. With the senior citizens I speak to, every one of them has been vaccinated twice. Reason is because they're in a they have underlying conditions. Just their ages alone are a concern. They're also concerned because they, in most cases, they've lost a spouse. They're no longer living in the home that was theirs for many decades. And they wear masks, and I keep a distance from them, you know, no hugging, no shaking of hands. And so with the senior citizens, I see a respect for the science. It's more in the general community. For example, at a University of Utah football game last Thursday.
Do you see, for example, as a matter of academic interest, what's going on and why people tend to stick together in groups of similar belief, and, for example, why they demonstrate outside state school board meetings and local school board meetings insisting that their children not be required to wear masks.
Now, I would point out that nationwide, I think the fully vaccinated, the number is about 53.3 as of today. That number is disheartening. It's very low. Those who actually make it a priority to protest are actually relatively few in number. Loud, visible, boisterous, but relatively few in number. I think the vast majority of people are uncertain, maybe confused, maybe unsure, certainly worried. This is makes me think that there's a saying we have in American English that ignorance is bliss. I've always found that ignorance is ignorance rather than bliss or happiness. It's a complicated reason why. Folks who maybe have the fatigue that goes after a year and a half of hearing mixed messages with regard to the impact of this coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. Now, for me, it's real. It's real because I lost my aunt and uncle December 11th and December 16th to this virus. They were angels. They were good people. They had underlying conditions, diabetes and Parkinson's, Lewy body disease. They were vulnerable. When I think of this virus, which is an unseen, invisible, but very deadly attacker that is terrifying us, I think of my aunt and uncle who died before this vaccinations, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, were available. So I think of them, and I also then think of my grandchildren. And, of course, I think of myself. I'm a little older than my grandchildren. And so I want to do whatever I can do to return to normal, normal being at least a year and a half ago.
You have a granddaughter who's just begun elementary school.
I have a granddaughter who's just begun first grade, and I have just 1,000 photos I can share with you if you want.
I'm sure you do.
And I have another granddaughter who is almost 5 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that responsibility as a grandpa, or in Japanese they say papu, to be a good grandpa to them.
In your congregation, Jerry, do you have a range of opinion, not just here in Salt Lake, but in the other congregations that you serve?
Not too much as far as the vaccine goes.
So people generally are willing to go with the vaccine. How about the masks?
Right, the masks. If I say, I'll mean to, but if I says I won't come to certain services if they're not masked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can't really say, I want to see your certificate.
Yeah.
But if I say, Buddhism teaches us, it's not so much even about me, but we're wearing the mask to protect the people around us.
Right.
You know? And so they pretty much do. I only know one member, and I haven't had a chance to talk to her, who doesn't want to get vaccinated. But then she's an organist at one of my temples, and I says, well, I guess we don't have music in the temple.
Ooh, that's a little bit harsh.
Yeah, but unless you're vaccinated or masked, I don't want you in there.
Mm-hmm. And so you haven't really heard how she's reacting to that.
No, but, you know, we're pretty careful. You know, I run that center in Berkeley, and we aren't even going to open till the spring. Because of this variant, we were going to open in January. My temples were all going to open in a week, but we've held off on that. We probably won't open until the beginning of the year just to figure out the best way to deal with this.
Let me throw one Buddhist idea right out here. The second noble truth. One way of stating that is that ignorance is the cause of our suffering. Sometimes they say it's craving, but is ignorance, and more specifically the ignorance that we choose, a cause of our suffering?
Yeah, I think so. But like I brought this quote because for me, I've always used that to tell the members to think these things through, and It's called the Kesamunti Sutra. Some people call it Kalama Sutra, but I just want to read that, this passage. It says, "Do not go upon what has been acquired by repeated hearing, nor upon tradition, nor upon rumor, nor upon what is in a scripture, nor upon surmise, nor upon an axiom, nor upon specious reasoning, nor upon a bias towards a notion that has been pondered over, not upon another seeming ability, nor upon the consideration, this monk is our teacher. Kalamas, when you yourselves know these things are bad, these things are blamable, these things are censured by the wise, undertaken and observed, these things lead to harm and ill, then abandon them. Kalamas, when you yourselves know these things are good, these things are not blamable, these things are praised by the wise, undertaken and observed, these things lead to benefit and happiness. Enter on and abide in them." So it's saying, don't go by the authority, mm-hmm. but see how it affects and follow people who you think are wise.
And this is the Buddha speaking.
Right, right. This is the Buddha speaking to a group of people.
Mm-hmm. The Kalamas who were confused as to which of several gurus they ought to
follow.
Right,
exactly. There are people who are coming into their village and saying, this is the way, this is the way. And they says, what should we do, Buddha? And the Buddha said, gave this advice.
So, Tim, why do people choose ignorance? Why do they choose folly?
Dan, it's a very good question, that word ignorance, and I always value meaningful quotes like that one, Jerry. I think of this quote about ignorance from the German philosopher Johann von Goethe. He said, "There is nothing more terrible than ignorance in action. There's nothing more terrible than ignorance in action." I have thought about that a lot, especially where you have a group of individuals who are looking for leadership. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking for a course of action. And the leader or leaders are professing what we would consider to be lies. Ignorance. As I said earlier, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance. So I thought about that a lot, especially when, like in the past administration in our country, when you would hear allegations of selected facts, fake news, or people's selected facts, rather than looking at what is clearly documented, what is clearly data, statistical, it's seen, it's verified, but then to mislead. And I think we see that right now. If you compare, say, smallpox and polio, back when smallpox was eliminating so many indigenous people, their tribes, when it was killing so many people in the New England area, during the American Revolutionary War, George Washington had his troops vaccinated. And it was one of the reasons why the soldiers were able to stay reasonably healthy and to fight. Jump ahead to my time. I'm old enough to remember a vaccination, Salk, Sabin, whether it's a syringe or later on a sugar cube. And my parents, who were evangelical, Southern Texan evangelical Republican conservatives, had no problem with having their oldest children vaccinated in that form. They trusted the science, and I'm glad they did. And most folks my age walk around with a little scar somewhere on the shoulder.
I've got one.
Yeah, you know. But it's emblematic of the fact that we dealt with a terrible problem, life-threatening problem, with a creation by scientists. You know, and so I think to myself, as I tell my students, P.S., political science, problem-solving. You know, we have a problem, acknowledge the problem. Don't deny the problem. And we've got a virus that is worldwide that is killing so many people. Although the majority of people affected do not die, they are terribly sick, terribly sick. And so I see this, and I say, you know, we've got to go with the science, go with the facts. We don't look at the calendar and delude ourselves into thinking that delay, and somehow when the summer comes or when the autumn comes or when the winter comes, this terrible virus will go away. This virus is a living organism. It wants to live. It doesn't want to die. And so I think of like when I played basketball, maybe we were behind at halftime. The coach would come in and say, okay, we've got to make some adjustments here if we're going to be successful, if we're going to win. The virus is doing the same thing. The virus has made an adjustment, and it's now more expeditious, more virulent, more dangerous than what we've experienced before. And so I walk around with a KN95 mask here, and again, I want to live, and so I'm making an adjustment as well.
Are we who work in the media somehow responsible for this wave of ignorance sweeping the nation by rewarding people who make outrageous statements with attention?
What we have in media in the last 30 years is a 24/7 news cycle. And media, individuals, reporters, are just like our elected officials. They don't know. So what we see is a repetition of disinformation. I want to say a lack of information. And what that does is it causes confusion. And when people are confused, folks, a lot of folks have the tendency to stop in their tracks and say, wait a minute, I'm not sure how to act. Should I turn right or left, go straight ahead, go backwards? They stay right where they are. In this case, it means they choose not to be vaccinated. Now, I grew up, that's one aspect. I also, as I said, I grew up in Texas, evangelical background, and I know that a lot of evangelical ministers have said to their flocks, don't be vaccinated. As a result, that is spreading information that can result in people getting terribly sick and dying. And so as we try to inform our public, as our elected officials who see the hospital beds filling up, now folks are saying in positions of responsibility from the pulpit to say, wait a minute, this is the best wealth is good health. The best wealth is good health. And I'll mix another metaphor. If you have a toothache, maybe you're thinking about a root canal in your future. You know, your whole universe is right in front of your mouth. It's not out there. It's right in front of your mouth. You know, that's your primary concern. And that's what should be our primary concern right now. I would suggest the number one reason why the last president was defeated, rejected by the voters by 7.5 million votes, was because of his mismanagement of this terrible virus. And Joe Biden has said his number one concern in the 7.5 months that he's been president has been this number one virus. It impacts our entire lives, whether it's health, whether it's politics, whether it's governing, whether it's the economy, whether it's business, whether it's education, whether it's media.
Do you, in Buddhist Churches of America and the other circles that you move in, see a way to open people's eyes, or do you just rely on your congregations to be smart already?
You know, I'm really at a loss. Like, you know, last year when this pandemic started, I thought, well, I have my motorhome. Mm-hmm. So I drove to all 48 states just to see the 48 states.
You and another Buddhist
priest. Yeah, right, another Buddhist priest. But we didn't go, you know, we just ate in the motorhome, but it really opened my eyes up. And so I was able to see the conservative people who say things like climate change is fake news or there's no water crisis. Because when I went to some of these areas, it was beautiful, green, and a lot of water. So I could kind of see, okay, you know, I could see why they're saying that. But this COVID, it's killing people every place. So I would think the evidence is right before them, and yet still they're rejecting it.
Well, Tim, isn't there some advantage to people willing to grasp it, of making this a partisan issue, of making an illogical and non-factual position into a political position?
We saw the previous president tried to do that exactly. That you'll remember that he said at the National Convention in 2016 in Cleveland, I'm the only one who can solve the problems. I'm the only one. Now, that may sound like a demagogue, but he was basically saying, we've got these problems, and I'm the only one who can solve them. So trust me. He also said, I can run the government and my business at the same time from the Oval Office. Or I can also international diplomacy and governing from the Oval Office. Now, that's the rhetoric of a demagogue. But yet, mysteriously, millions of people perceived him as someone that maybe they should follow. Now, he's been out of public office for 7.5 months, but we have state legislatures controlled by the same party who are behaving in much the same way. They want to believe that the previous president was right when the majority of Americans...
Does it matter whether he was right or not, or only that people followed him?
Well, remember, the country is so divided. And those who follow him in some places are very influential. My home state of Texas, for example, we see it just this week with regard to bills the governor has signed that have been passed on by the legislature. So it comes down to a sense of faith and belief as to how to respond. And what we're seeing is that helps to explain why only 53.3% of the population in this country have been fully vaccinated. I mean, it's barely over half. That's really representative of what the election was back on November 3rd.
So is vaccination a political act?
It has become that. It was not with smallpox. It was not with polio. Mysteriously, amazingly, it has become that. Just as wearing a mask or not wearing a mask has become much the same.
You know, I was trying to delete something because my Dharma talks every Sunday are recorded and posted. And someone was commenting, you know, you're suggesting vaccination for everyone. Don't you think it could be that the vaccines are the cause of COVID? So I was trying to erase that, but it ended up erasing my whole post. But I thought they would think that the vaccine, just logically, it doesn't make sense time-wise, right? And so much of this to me doesn't fit in. You know, I would sometimes, because I'm quite liberal in my own political thing, I would say, oh, it's this neoliberal agenda for capitalism on every scale, but this COVID hurts, you would think, this neoliberal capitalistic agenda to make money. Because people die in business. I don't even understand why the stock market is doing so well when people are dying. And, you know, so it's very confusing.
Well, you move back and forth between Utah and Berkeley, California, where
right.
the Institute of Buddhist Studies and the Jodo Shinshu
right.
Headquarters is based. Do you see a different block of voters arguing different things that may be just as wrong?
Yeah, well, I really see this left. That's why at my home I have to really tell my wife, I don't want to listen to any news. I said, CNN is just as biased for the left. You know, I said, I tried to keep a balanced idea, so she switched to MSNBC, and I said, that's the same thing. I said, I'm just not going to watch news anymore. You know, I'll read the New York Times, so that's what I still just do every morning. I read them. But that's pretty liberal, right?
Well, I read Deseret News. Maybe, Tim, you do or you don't.
I read the Deseret News online, the Salt Lake Tribune online. I have it delivered to my home on the weekend. I read the New York Times every day, the Washington Post every day online. To get the New York Times on Sunday delivered to my home. I listen to BBC continually. I sometimes channel surf around the world with English-speaking newspapers around the world. I am an NPR junkie. And I guess what I'm saying is that I'm addicted to news and information. And I've been that way ever since I was a little boy, lying in bed with a radio by my pillow. And if I fell asleep, my head hit the radio. I woke up. For some mysterious reason, I find it positive and even soothing or reassuring when I am listening to news and information more than, say, classical music. I don't know why. My wife tolerates the fact that I will put little earbuds in, lying in bed before I fall asleep, just to listen and reassure. When I wake up in the morning early, I'm checking to see if we're still alive and here. So, now CNN, MSNBC, I will tolerate Fox, but like you, my politics is far left of center.
For Utah.
Now I've got friends in California where I went to school at UC Santa Barbara that consider me, sometimes they'll say, you're the patriot, because I believe in governing and in government and using government as a tool to try to help people. I believe in the partnership between government and the private sector business and try to bring together the religious communities, the nonprofits communities, the military, the education, academic communities together to solve problems. I believe in it. That's what I tell my students. But in my own personal life, guilty as charged, I listen to news every day. I want to be informed. And again, it's my own personal battle every day to combat ignorance.
Now, Jerry, I remember Dr. Andrew Weil recommending that people take a news fast or a news vacation. In Buddhist practice, you are trying in some ways to turn down the noise in your mind if you're meditating regularly. Are we working against ourselves when we consume media to an excessive extent?
I really don't know. I talk to people all over the world. Just last week, I was talking to a good friend of mine in the Netherlands, and he's confounded too about why some people are for the vaccine. He says in Europe, where he's going around, it's a shortage of the vaccines. That's mm-hmm. also what I heard in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they're going, I can't believe what America has all that vaccine and people don't do it. And that's what I can't. Why is it that the right have taken this attitude that the vaccine could be wrong and the left is saying, no, the vaccine, is it just because the left says it's good so the right says it's bad?
Well, there's sure a lot of people in other countries, Europe and Japan, but also many other countries that would love to get some.
That's right. Part of it is also, do you have faith? Do you have confusion? Uncertainty? What to believe? Almost every person wants to live. It's not always true. We lose about 16 people a day who were soldiers, men and women, in Afghanistan and Iraq. It used to be 22 a day. Most people want to live, but fear can be a real emotion, and confusion can be a result. And so as a result, people end up standing still, even if they have the option to be vaccinated. Free. The proximity is there for them. And yet the combination of fear and confusion causes them to become inert, to be distrustful. The majority of Americans, slight majority, believe and have a faith that what they're being told by the medical professionals, echoed by many of the politicians and governing authorities, that the vaccinations are worth it. Especially as we see now stories of individuals who denied that, expressed their opposition, and now they get terribly sick, maybe they're dead, or they suffer terribly, lose their jobs, so forth, and they pass it on to a family member. And again, I circle back to my own personal experience, losing my aunt and uncle December 11th and December 16th, and they lived in a very nice assisted living place in Salt Lake Valley. And they never left their room, but some well-intended staff person, not knowing that he or she was a carrier, came into the room and gave it to them. And their vulnerability was so great that they were sick by Thanksgiving and gone by the middle of December.
Yeah, I had one uncle, both the aunt and uncle who was in assisted living, came down, but the aunt survived and the uncle died. You know, my daughters have both been sick, but the closest thing I think, you know, death, we all know, or we should know we're going to die, but we always live as if it's somebody else who's going to die. But this COVID, you think that fear of death would motivate them to get it? But maybe, like you said, the ignorance and the fear has made them unable to move any place.
Yeah.
So that frozen, the frozen fear is what is keeping them from the vaccine.
That's right. Another example that hits my mind is I have good friends my age, went to college with them, and met with them in early July in California, and both of them had COVID-19. They survived. They were sick for a while, but they said, we are still experiencing brain fog or confusion. Examples, how many times do they walk into a room and they stop and they say, I know I'm supposed to be in this room to do something. I'm just going to stand here until the fog dissipates, fades, and I remember what I'm supposed to pick up, retrieve, or do. Brain fog. Well, I call that confusion. And the confusion, you know, that's an impact up here in mental processing. We don't really know the overall consequences, the long-range consequences to, say, our cardiovascular system, you know, our lungs, our heart, and so forth, because of this virus.
So what's the answer? Should I stand up on the side of the walk here with a sign that says, y'all don't be stupid no more? I mean, sometimes I feel like that's what I feel like doing. I don't think lead to anything productive.
For me, I just think for Buddhists, at least, it's, I emphasize now, not the right, the left politics, I say, do it for the other people.
Yeah.
I said, don't think about yourself. Think about the other people you're helping. We have a young man at my temple who had sudden kidney failure. And I said, he could get sick so easily. He has no immune system, basically, right now. And I says, that's the type of person I worry about. You know, I've had the vaccine, so I don't think I'm not going to die, I hope. But, you know, it's for the other person I'm trying to emphasize now.
Well, I mean, is there a political message or a political movement that can counter some of this, Tim?
We see in Utah as a case study where the legislature is slow walking and ambivalent as to what should be done. The governor admonishes people to get vaccinated. The mayor of the largest city, capital city, first city, Salt Lake City, has stood up to critics in the community and the legislature and says, think of the kids, you know, protect the kids, protect your family, get vaccinated, be proactive rather than reactive, be assertive rather than fearful. So we have ambivalence in our state. You mentioned the protest earlier with medical directors. And what we've seen is increasingly the data indicates that almost 99% of those people who are really hospitalized, dying, are the unvaccinated.
And those are facts that bounce off people who've already got their minds made up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping the tide is kind of turning, but like some of my temples in Oregon, I know of 4 cases now of the vaccinated getting COVID from this new variant, you know, and these people were vaccinated for, they thought they were okay. But they says, tell people that to get it, even when you're vaccinated, it's totally debilitating.
Yeah. I spoke to a young woman, staff member at one of the assisted living places in Salt Lake Valley, which has been on lockdown now for over 2 weeks, and had a number of people pass away, even though they had been vaccinated twice. But somehow came into contact with the virus, and as a result, they're on lockdown, but they've lost residence. She said to me that she's been quarantined, she's at home, and this has been the sickest, the most ill she has ever been in her life. Now, this is a woman in her mid-30s, so I imagine she's probably gone through childhood diseases mm-hmm. and other things. But she said, and she spoke to me on the telephone. Her voice was very soft, and she said, Tim, I am the sickest I have ever been. She said, especially in my lungs. In my lungs is where it's really hit her hard. And like I say, she's less than half the age of these senior citizens who are so much more vulnerable. That should be a message to us.
All right. I think we've covered a lot of territory here, gentlemen. And thank you very much for your thoughts. And we'll see if the ship of society can turn.
Thank you very much.
Tim Chambliss taught at the University of Utah and worked with the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the U for 34 years. He's a professor of political science and a regular commentator on issues involving politics in Utah and across the country. Jerry Hirano is the minister at the Salt Lake Buddhist Temple in Salt Lake City. He was born and grew up in Utah. He's also the minister of the temples in Ogden and Honeyville, Utah, and in Ontario, Oregon. He's also director of the Center for Buddhist Education for the Buddhist Churches of America. Hirano Sensei's education includes degrees from the University of Utah and the Institute of Buddhist Studies in Berkeley, California, as well as advanced training and ordination at the Central Buddhist Seminary in Kyoto, Japan. I'm Dan Bomas, and we're grateful you've taken the time to listen to Crazy Buddhist. Please leave us a rating or a review, and we'll be back soon.